Reformation of Ummah, Ummah. Reformation of Ummah, Ummah. Reformation of Ummah, Ummah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya wal Mursaleen, Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammad. وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم افتح علينا حكمتك وانشر علينا رحمتك يا ذا الجلال والاكرام او الله عز وجل open the doors of knowledge and wisdom for us have mercy on us او the one who is the most honorable the most gracious بلغ العلا بكماله كشف الدجى بجماله حسنت جميع خصاله صلوا عليه واله مرحبا مرحبا اهلا وسهلا بكم to one and all. Once again, tonight you are watching Reformation of the Ummah. Alhamdulillah, I am accompanied by our beloved Ziyad Madani Hafizahullah. Tonight, inshallah, we are going to be looking at solutions to toxic relationships. Allahu Akbar. Before I go any further, inshallah, into our discussion for tonight, inshallah, let me ask our beloved Mawlana Ziyad Madani Hafizahullah, solutions to toxic relationships, husband and wife, brother and sister, friends, family members, cousins, your business partners, marriage itself. All these are those relationships that was meant to be a place of peace, sukoon, jiha. These are those relationships which are supposed to have a very strong bond between siblings, husband and wife, between brothers, between cousins, relatives, family members, neighbors. These are those relationships which should cause peace, harmony, sukoon. But for many today, dear viewers, it has become a place of what? Pressure, pain, and emotional exhaustion. Trust me, behind closed doors, there are homes where voices are raised. Screaming, shouting, yelling, fighting, hearts are ignored. Yani ihtiram, respect is slowly dying in our society. Is this not a reality, dear viewers? So the truth is, we are not just dealing with conflict anymore. We are dealing with toxic relationships. This is the ultimate truth. Where love once upon a time exists, but today it's suffocating. Where apologies come, but behavior never changes. Where one partner controls and the other silently just breaks. Yet the Quran has mentioned, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ and live with them in kindness. The hadith, the best among you is the one who is the best to his family. Are we implementing this hadith in our lives, dear viewers? So if homes are toxic, if those environments have become so toxic, then something is not aligned with Islam. Mm. Yes, dear viewers. Tonight, we just don't expose toxicity. Tonight, we just don't talk about toxicity, but rather we talk about the solutions. How can we overcome this problem? How can we escape from this toxic environment? What are the solutions? There are so many people looking for solutions. They cannot manage it. They cannot take it any longer. They are suffocating. They are dying. They are silently dying in these relationships. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Thus we have this program called Reformation of the Ummah, where we discuss these matters, dear viewers. Before we even turn towards Mawlana Ziyad Madani Hafizahullah, inshallah, Zawajallah, just to mention, we are talking about controlling, emotionally abusive people in our society. We are going to be talking about physical abuse, people who are narcissists, financial control, silent neglect. All these are those problems which have affected our society at large. Our brothers, our sisters, our friends and family members. Many people have landed themselves in the hospitals due to depression, anxiety, pressure of life, and these toxic relationships. People are silently dying, not only here in Durban, South Africa, but yes, this is a global epidemic. This is a global issue, dear viewers. Toxicity is not always loud. Sometimes it is silent and suffocating. So inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, we move towards our Mawlana Sahib, inshallah, and we're going to ask our beloved Mawlana Ziyad Madani Hafidhullah some questions, and we hope inshallah you're going to take down some notes, keep them in your mind, and if possible, share this video with others for the pleasure and for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mawlana Sahib, this is our discussion for tonight, and what we need to understand, I think, as a first question, how do we identify a toxic relationship before it even destroys us?
Allahu Akbar wa lillahi alhamd, may Allah Azza wa Jal protect us all. Ameen. These are problems in society that too often we cover, too often we hide from, and we hide them away. Whilst they are actually problems that must be addressed, and we need to be able to identify them, because if we don't know the signs of a toxic relationship, then the likeliness is we could end up falling into one without even realizing it. And therefore, it's important from the word go to identify the signs of a toxic relationship and look out for them and ensure that we are not those that impose such a relationship. We are not those that cause such toxicity to enter relationships that we are in. So among the signs that you do have of a toxic relationship, which could help you to identify before it actually destroys you or destroys your relationship, would be the lack of emotional safety. Now understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with the relationships that we have as a means of sukoon, as a means of tranquility, as a means of serenity, as a means of peace. Allah Azza wa Jal has blessed us with these relationships. You might find a parent-child relationship, relationship between siblings, relationship between friends, and of course, one of the strongest bonds that we find within the dunya, the bond of marriage. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about the bond of marriage in the Holy Quran. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions that the characteristic of the spouse you'd find is لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا, so that you find peace, so that you may find serenity and peace within them. Subhanallah Azza wa Jalla. Now we should be finding that peace, we should be finding that safety in that marriage. But the lack of safety, the lack of the feeling of security within marriage is a hint, it is a pointer, it is, how can we say, it is a sign that that might be leading towards a toxic relationship or becoming a toxic relationship. Also, disrespect in a relationship. This is something that's taken a bit lightly, but it should not. It should not be taken lightly. Disrespect in a relationship, if that relationship has not turned toxic, just wait for it. It is going to turn toxic. We need to ensure that our relationships are respectful. You find that in toxic relationships, often people feel like they're walking on eggshells. This is just a saying within English, but walking on eggshells means a person is walking so carefully, a person has to tread so carefully because they fear at any moment they may fall into difficulty. Their spouse may take off with them, their spouse may blackmail them, their spouse may put them in some sort of a challenging situation where they feel that, okay, now I'm cornered, now I don't have any support, now I've lost the plot, I've lost the battle. Also, the feeling of constantly being drained instead of being at peace in your relationship. This too is a sign of a toxic relationship, that unfortunately within such a relationship, instead of feeling the peace we are supposed to be feeling, we are constantly feeling drained. It feels like a battle even being in such a relationship where we have lost the mahabbah, we have lost the love, we've lost the care, we've lost that feeling of being at ease and being at peace,
Allah,
feeling safe, and rather we are feeling that we are walking on eggshells. We don't know what to do. We don't know what's the next, you know, what's the next move on our side or the next move on our partner's side. Whatever the relationship be, whether it be a relationship of friends or, well, mainly it takes place in the relationship marriage as well.
Bishop, so you said لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا, this is the Quranic quote, of course, alhamdulillah, the verse of the Quranic part, that you should find peace within your spouses, right? So if there is no peace, if there is no sukoon, then most definitely something is wrong, Mawlana.
Absolutely, something is wrong. If there's no peace, that means we're losing the plot of the marriage. Okay. If people are married, but there's no peace within the marriage, you've lost the plot of marriage, because you were supposed to be a means of peace. You were supposed to be a means of serenity, of safety for each other. If you don't feel safe in the presence of your spouse, or your spouse doesn't feel safe in your presence, then unfortunately you are not being a good spouse, or they are not being a good spouse. And these are some of the signs of toxic relationships that we need to look out for. Manasa mentioned a few a little bit earlier on as well. Sometimes you get a spouse that's a little bit too controlling.
Yes.
Or one partner that's a bit too controlling. or becomes abusive. Now, abusive too, people think that abuse is just physical abuse. You get abuse that is physical, you also get abuse that's emotional. Mm. That someone is constantly targeted, they're constantly made to feel low, they're constantly made to feel like they're good for nothing. This too is emotional abuse. Blackmailing. Mm. Blackmailing the person that, you know, if I don't get my way, then I will open this chapter, I will discuss this, I will let this be known in society. People become so self-centered, everything's about themselves. They call them narcissistic people. Everything's about themselves. They're always worried about themselves and their appearance and their everything about themselves, not paying attention to the feelings of the next person, to realize that I'm not dealing with a thing. I'm dealing with a person. I'm dealing with a being. I'm dealing with a living being that Allah has blessed with a mind and, very importantly, a heart. Mm. And so we do need to become a little more open to these ideas that Allah Azza wa Jal has blessed me with someone, Allah Azza wa Jal has blessed me with people who have hearts and minds just like I do. As much as I enjoy attention, they do enjoy it. As much as I enjoy love, they enjoy love. As much right. as I enjoy affection, they enjoy affection. Right. As much as I want to feel safe, they too want to feel safe. I don't like to walk on eggshells. Mm. Why would they want to walk on eggshells? If people are made to feel like they're walking on eggshells in our presence isn't doing good. It's sure. doing more harm. We constantly think they need to change. It's time we realize maybe we need to change too.
MashaAllah. You have presented it very beautifully, Maulana Sahib. So these are the toxic relationships. I'm just recalling a situation, right?
Right.
I know of a couple that promised the world to each other.
Right.
Once they got married, husband is distant.
Mm.
Allahu Akbar. Whenever she spoke, he ignored Yasayyidi. Eventually, she stopped speaking. They weren't in communication thereafter. No fights, no arguments, no violence, just silence. Mm. Such silence until such a moment in her life in this marriage, she said that, you know what, I don't want to die, but I either don't want to live.
Allahu Akbar.
I don't want to die, but I don't want to live either. And what we actually learn from this, Ya Sayyidi, is a very important lesson. And that lesson is, dear viewers of Madinah Channel, not all toxic relationships are loud. Some are painfully quiet and silent.
Mm.
It's a silent murder, Ya Sayyidi. Mm. Just no communication, no talking, yet communication, love and trust, these are very important components to keep your marriage together.
Absolutely.
You cannot lack trust, you cannot lack communication. And these are the things that builds muhabba and love and closeness to a couple. But there are many people out there who don't talk, they don't communicate, and they actually fight with silence.
Mm.
And one thing goes wrong, for the next 1 week or 2 weeks, you're not going to hear from them. What's the solution for such a problem?
Yeah, I think here we have, unfortunately, a lack of communication that usually causes marriages to break down as well. There needs to be some amount of communication. There needs to be some amount of being able to open your feelings to your spouse as well. And your spouse to be free enough to open their feelings, their emotions to you as well. Sometimes people feel that, well, you don't speak, you know. This, my spouse doesn't speak. Why don't they tell me how they're feeling? What we need to do in that situation is to question ourselves that are we approachable enough for them to be able to speak? Or when they speak, are we just going to shut them down? When they speak, are we just going to say, you know, not pay attention? Or are we just going to say that, well, that's yours to deal with. Why are you making your problem my problem? If we are not approachable enough, then it's pointless us complaining that, well, you don't let your emotions be known to me. You don't let your situation be known to me. We need to be approachable enough for them to be able to bring that out. And then we need to be somewhat involved in such a way that we let our own guards down a little towards our spouses as well. If someone has their spouse and they're constantly on guard, then what kind of marriage are you in?
Mm.
You need to be able to, there's someone, Allah blessed you with someone that you can drop your guard in front of, that you can allow them to see your vulnerability. Now this becomes very difficult for male folk. So the men out there, they must be thinking, or many of them might be thinking that, you know, why are you telling us to drop our guard? Don't you know we are men? Well, sometimes that vulnerability that you show, that I too am insan, I can also feel hurt, I can also have difficulty, I can also cry from time to time. That vulnerability allows you and your spouse to be able to lend each other the shoulder. to be able to say, I'm here for you. You know, lending the shoulders, just, you can say a phrase in English, to say that I'm here for you and you are here for me. So that feeling, that peace of mind needs to be there. And we see it, wallahi, we see it in the blessed life of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Azwaji mutahharat, ummahatul mu'mineen, mothers of the believers, radiyallahu ta'ala anhunna ajma'een. They and their relationship with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was this way. That he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had them to lay his blessed head on their shoulders, and they had him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that way as well, that they could lay their blessed heads on his blessed shoulders as well, knowing that we are here for each other. If we want the solution to our problems, wallahi, it's back in the life of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we look for solutions elsewhere and we think somewhere out of the deen the solution will come, it doesn't come, and if it comes, they took it from the deen. Why are we running so far when we can constantly refer to our beloved, our leader, our guide, our master, Uswatun Hasana, the best possible example for us to ever receive? See his blessed relationship with his blessed wives, as he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was with them and they were to him. If we copy and paste, it's not plagiarism here, copy and paste, it works perfectly as it worked. So will it work? It's working now, worked yesterday, will work now, and will work in the future until the day of judgment, if I could say, and beyond.
Subhanallah, and beyond. Subhanallah, subhanallah, mashallah. One thing we need to get straight,
right,
and I think this is the ultimate truth, that these toxic environments, Ya Sayyidi, are not built overnight.
Yes.
They are created on a daily basis.
Yes.
These daily issues and matters that we face in our marriages, as you mentioned, arguments, fights, eventually they become toxic, right?
Uh-huh.
So it's not from day one.
Yes.
But gradually people go get into this, right? So the toxicity of that environment then eats a person, consumes a person mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. And a person then is no longer the same person. A lot of people become hard. When they are soft, they become hard. Those who are hard become soft. The same pressure, pressure of life, pressure of finance, pressure of meeting expectations, pressure of keeping husbands happy. There are many sisters who are so forgiving in the relationship. Husbands will fight and argue and argue, and one sorry they will ask for and everything is done and over. But it's not vice versa. It's not vice versa. I have seen situations like this where the wife could make maaf over and again, but the husband cannot oversee and overlook at situations, right? Yeah, it's like his ego is hurt, and he, as you mentioned, some are narcissists. It's only about them. It's only about them. It's all about me. How I want to eat, how I want to love, my clothing, my style of living, my choices, my likes and my dislikes. You've got to respect all of that and keep up to that expectation. And it's very hard to do so. But can Munasab mention some of the things that creates this toxicity in a marriage, if we are talking about marriage alone, inshallah?
I would say that the first and most important cause of toxicity and the creation of toxicity in a marriage is the lack of deen. That is the main cause. You'd find that those who are in toxic relationships because they don't have the deen in their relationship. Maybe one person may be deen inclined, or the other might be deen inclined, but you don't find it two ways. Or in their own personal lives, they are deen inclined, but they don't bring deen into their relationship. They don't consider the sunnah way of having, of maintaining that relationship. So the lack of deen, the death of deen knowledge, and lack of practicality upon that deen knowledge, unfortunately, is found, and that lends to the creation and the sustaining of that toxic relationship. So that would be point number one, bringing deen into our relationships, basing our relationships on the deen of Islam, the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That would avoid the toxic relationship or the toxicity entering into a relationship.
Right.
Another is the lack of appreciation.
Right.
Everyone loves to feel appreciated, as much as we might hide this and not want to say it. Each of us loves appreciation. Each of us loves that when we do something, when we go out of our way, our effort should be appreciated. We know it's not perfect. We know our efforts are not the best. But when we put in some extra effort, we want that extra appreciation. But we are very good for expecting it and not giving it.
And there's no restriction.
Absolutely.
For age, because if you show appreciation to a small child, he gets happy.
Absolutely.
To an elderly person, he gets happy.
Absolutely.
And what I have witnessed and what I have seen, that often these appreciations are given only on stage. We like to thank the mic guy, we like to thank the food guy, we like to thank the deco guy, we like to thank all those who put their efforts in making this program successful. What about thanking those who made your marriage successful.
Absolutely.
Who saved you from gunah and sin, from fornication. Yes. That Islamic sister who became a reason for you to be away from sins.
Subhanallah.
So many ways she has protected you. When last have we given appreciation to our spouses, to our parents, to our brothers and sisters?
Absolutely.
This is such an important question.
Actually, even there, that appreciation also comes on stage, you know? That when the family members are around or when others are around, I'd like to thank my wife for being so good. But that's not in day-to-day life.
Yes.
So that appreciation needs to take place in two ways.
Yeah.
And that appreciation can be shown in various ways. Sometimes verbal appreciation is good. In other times, instead of verbal appreciation, someone might show their appreciation by trying to do something extra for you. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And when they put in that effort, from time to time, yes, we are insan, yes, we'll make mistakes, and yes, we might not always show appreciation, but if we become conscious of it, then we will try to show that extra appreciation from time to time,
right,
which helps the relationship drastically a lot.
Subhanallah. But on that note of appreciation itself, right, a lot of people may think, but I'm thanking my Rabb for it. I'm thanking my Allah for it. They should know that the hadith of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Man lam yashkur an-nas lam yashkur Allah."
Absolutely.
So if you thought that my wife is so kind towards me, I don't have to give her acknowledgement. I don't have to say thanks to her. I can thank my Allah that he gave me such a good wife. That's fine. But the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam had stated, the one who has not thanked the people in reality has not thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Absolutely. Allah azza wa jal made the people the means of those ni'mas, of those bounties and mercies reaching us. From time to time, our appreciation needs to go out to them. Now, this is something that many men folk suffer with, right? Mm. Constant criticism. And I don't mean they suffer as victims. I mean that unfortunately they are the so-called perpetrators of the crime.
Yes,
that Allah criticism. Allah. Men, I know that in general men are critics. Sorry, I'm you know, it sounds like I'm a bit biased.
Because I think every man feels,
what I've seen.
You have seen that, and every man feels that he's got solution for all the problems. You know, he has a solution to the problem. He has to give you a solution to the problem. So they become and they become like that, like how you just mentioned.
Absolutely. Viewers of Madani Channel, our apologies that I would say that, you know, sometimes we are disclosing some of the difficulties that men folk go through. It's not easy on us as well. We are men folk as well. And we know that sometimes this tends to feel like it's within our nature, but right is right, wrong is wrong. Haq is haq, batil is batil. Even if we face some of these difficulties, it's for us to identify them, so that we can better ourselves. As we expect for viewers that you should identify and better yourself, so too do we have to identify it and better ourselves. But this problem of constant criticism, everything criticized, food criticized, dressing criticized, looks criticized, each and every, but every effort is criticized instead of being appreciated. I think the opposite of criticism would have been appreciation. And we do it under the name of constructive criticism. Again, I'm not saying it's all bad.
Yeah.
But too much of it does hurt. Too much of it breaks the enthusiasm to try again. Just think that if every time a child tried to stand up and walk and fell down, if we push the child down, not physically but by criticizing, the child will eventually lose the courage to be able to stand and walk again.
True.
Why does the child try again and again and again? Because every time they try, parents give husla afzai. Parents say, wow, mashallah, you did it. Yes, you did it. They pat them on the back. They give them a smile. They appreciate their efforts. And so the child feels motivated to do it again. As it applies for children, it applies for elders as well. Like Munawar Sahib mentioned, children crave appreciation. So do elders. So do spouses. Children crave that as well, that they want to be motivated. If we constantly criticize, it's not good. Once in a while, constructive criticism, when it is asked for and when it's going to be constructive, then mashallah, it can be given. That's a good open relationship. But constant criticism kills enthusiasm. Remember that.
Yeah. But those who are critics, right?
Right.
The problem is that they don't like to hear their own problems. And when it's brought to notice, they would defend themselves. And I think if you're a good talker, you must be a good listener as well.
100%. Someone once told me that Allah bless us with two ears and one mouth. It means we must listen more and speak less.
Yes, Allahu Akbar. And the truth, Ya Sayyidi, actually, you know what? Healing begins before you even start speaking.
Yes.
If you become a good listener, listening to the problems of some person, that listening alone starts to heal the person before you even start giving advice to the person.
Absolutely.
So just borrow your ears to people. Sometimes husbands, what they do, they really go deep into criticizing and finding faults, whereas when one of the mistake is brought forward, they will defend, they will not accept, and people don't like to take responsibility. So at this point and the juncture, dear viewers of Madani Channel, if you're feeling unheard in your relationship, disrespected in your relationship, if you feel like it's so much of investment, so many years into this relationship, 14 years, 21 years, possibly 30, 40 years, and on a daily basis, there's arguments, there are quarrels, there are fights, there is no respect, you feel unheard, you need to ask yourself, what is that one thing hurting you in your marriage that you never ever said to anybody? Allahu Akbar. What is that one thing? Sometimes people don't need advice. Ya Sayyidi, they just need a voice.
Yes.
And gosh, we can all, you know, understand this matter and respect, make tawbah in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She is also a bandi and a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It could be vice versa. Many of the brothers are stuck in such relationships, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas they are unable to come out and they also need to be heard. It's vice versa. Sometimes it's all about money. You've got to keep up to that certain standard. There are brothers who are being belittled on a daily basis because they can't provide as per the expectations of their spouses.
Allah.
And they are being criticized because you are not the provider. You cannot do this. It was a sin marrying you. It was a horrible decision to marry you. You promised me the world before nikah, and after nikah, you can't even do A, B, C. And when the brother is approached, he says, I do it till Z. I'm gone till Z, from A to Z. But the thing is that it's about the expectation. And it could be the case where, really speaking, naan and nafqa, the things that Masab mentioned yesterday, sheltering her, feeding her, and clothing her. Mm. This is the hadith. This is the summary of the hadith. When you clothe yourself, you clothe her. When you eat, you feed her. When you shelter yourself, you give her shelter too. Give her respect as well. So these things aren't met in a relationship. Mm. So the question is, if there are people who want to part ways because of whatever reason, a lot of people mention, you know what, this is the most dangerous thing to ever do. But the question is, Ya Sayyidi, can people part on good terms? Or is it necessary to part on a bad term, you know? Separation on a bad term.
Big question, and luckily I'm not going to look at the vast majority of people and give this answer, for the reason that if I do, it would seem as if it's impossible to part on good terms. But that's how people make us feel. That's how it seems, because so many people part on bad terms. The reality is you don't have to part on bad terms. If people have to part ways, then part ways because we are having difficulty upholding the laws that Allah Azza wa Jalla has set for us. We are having difficulty upholding that together, and therefore we might need to separate or we might need to part. So even if someone's going to part, always, if you're going to continue, if you're going to choose a separate route, don't burn bridges. People make these mistakes. They burn their bridges. They part on a bad note. There's always a court case between them, you know, trying to get the best out of that person or cause some difficulty. We don't need that. Take the good, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And if people must part, it's the last resort. We don't look forward to people parting. But it is a resort. It is a resort when there's nothing else left, when there's nothing left to fight for. Then eventually people might want to part ways. And we shouldn't hold ourselves prisoners to toxic relationships. We shouldn't say that, no, I've gone into it and now my life is finished and I'm going to live the rest of my life in depression. No, there are ways out. But if you're going to part, part on a good note. Part in such a way that I can still think good of you and you can think good of me. I still respect you and you still respect me. I let you be who you are and I am who I am. But without looking down on each other, or pushing people down. Sometimes even if people part, the next time anyone ever asks about that person or the next opportunity they have, they want to speak ill about that person. Someone once asked a pious personality that, you know, you were married and then your marriage had broken, had separated. So, like, what was wrong? What was bad about your wife? Mm. So this person said, if I'm going to speak bad about her and it's not true, then I'm slandering her. Allah. And if I'm going to speak bad about her and it is true, then I'm backbiting about her. Mm. What goodness is there in me speaking about her? Whatever the case was, whatever happened, it happened. And let us leave it to be that way. So there wasn't a need to bring these things out. When there's no need to bring out negative about the person, don't bring it out. When there's no need to end on a bad note, then why end on a bad note? If relationships must end, then let it end in such a way that it's not that I have no face to show the person if ever I need to meet them again. Sure. End on a good note, let them go their way, and one should continue his way.
MashaAllah, very good solution Masab has provided, right? And we have also seen that in relationships that have commenced before nikah, which are completely haram, like too much of communication, or intermingling, meeting one another, such relations and relationships actually don't last long after nikah.
Usually, yes.
Because most of the discussion, most of the talks, most of their plannings were already done before nikah. And so much of promises. And then when they live with each other, then they realize what I had seen before nikah and what I'm seeing after nikah is like chalk and cheese. Two different things. This is not the same person that I've met before nikah. Mm. So why is this like this?
I think, when people have expectations from before, and they build their mindsets that it is like this and this person is like that and so on, and then they get in, then they realize it's not like that. Unfortunately, that all of those expectations were not really lived up to, number one. Number two also, importantly to note, is when there is limited communication before, then usually people enter such a relationship with the feeling or with the mindset that I'm willing to work with it and compromise. Whilst when people feel like I'm going to set everything and see that everything is perfect from the time, from before I get into the relationship, and they work towards and they try to find the perfection, and then they step in and they realize the perfection isn't really there. They've entered already without a mindset of compromising.
Okay.
Marriages in which people come together with the mindset that I need to give some and take some, that I'm going to compromise, somewhere I'm going to have to bend and somewhere they are going to have to bend, those relationships are more likely to last as compared to those that we say, well, it's perfect from the word go, I'm going to have to get in, there's no need to compromise. Then when you get in and you realize there is compromise and you feel like I'm bending backwards for this person whilst I didn't plan to do so. And so that's why, mashallah, many of the relationships you find, you know, previously, especially, and sometimes even in today's time, that family members would set up these relationships after looking at compatibility and so many various factors. When the couple does get together, they already have the mindset that this person is not going to be perfectly suited to my life. But I'm going to have to bend a little and they are going to bend a little. I'm going to have to compromise, they're going to compromise. We're going to make it work. Many a times, I'm not saying in all cases, but many a times those relationships do end up successful. So as an important hint to the viewers out there and to ourselves as well, some amount of compromise on both sides in every relationship, worldly relationship, in all of our worldly relationships, some amount of compromise is necessary to build, to maintain, to sustain a successful relationship.
MashaAllah. So a woman says, my husband hurts me. He fights with me and then he apologizes. Then he promises a change. And then he repeats the same thing again and again. So she says, I am living in a cycle that's not changing. So this is one of the common problems we have. It's not that Islamic brothers wouldn't want to change. Islamic sisters wouldn't want to change. Many sisters make tawbah. I have to change. I got to make my life better. And many of them learn this lesson after they have children. Mm. You know, it's so sad in our society that all of these arguments, whether it's related to finance, related to in-laws, related to the living style, whatever problems they may face, right? The situation is such that these discussions at times, this toxic environment affects the children, the little babies of the families, you know.
Absolutely.
There could be little kids at the age of 3, 4, 5, 10. And the impact of those toxic environments affect the child in the future.
Absolutely.
The studies, the child's life, when the child wants to get married one day after becoming, turning into an adult. And I have seen this with my eyes, Ya Sayyidi. This affects their character, the akhlaq of how they think, how they focus, how they deal in the dunya. And then we wonder, what happened to this person? Every person who flops has something to do with his past.
Very true, Munasab. Actually, if you look further into studies, you notice this as well. The children who go into school environments, they go into social circles as bullies. That they are bullying other children. You find that they have come from rough and abusive environments themselves.
Yeah.
Because this is what they saw.
It was toxic.
They saw an environment in which power was abused. Therefore, when they feel a little powerful, they abuse that as well. Then you look at children who are very timid, extremely timid. They can't stand up for themselves. They can't say anything. They are too afraid. They are too withdrawn. They become very, you know, introverts. Those children too, you find that many a times, they come from these sorts of toxic relationships, that they within a family in which a toxic relationship is present and the toxins of that relationship has spread to the entire family. You find children that can't make it in life, children that eventually grow up to be, you know, very big bullies. They tend to have that in common. I'm not saying that in every case it definitely is this way, but the vast majority It is this way. And that goes on. Remember, a child who grows up in the middle of a toxic relationship, or in the middle of a family that is filled with toxic relationships. But the child that grows up in that environment is very likely that when they themselves establish their own homes, those environments may end up toxic as well. It's not all the time, but it happens so often that it's very difficult to turn a blind eye on it.
Allahu Akbar. Allah Kareem protect us, Mawlana. Allah Kareem protect us. And this is the reality. So Allah Kareem does not change the condition of the nation until that nation does not wish to change their own condition.
Absolutely.
Many of us have tried making changes in our lives. Many husbands out there, many Islamic sisters out there have tried. And you make niyyah. There are many sisters who have, their faults have been brought forth. You know, husbands have listed for them that I have this problem with you, I have this problem, I have this problem, whatever it may be, if there was mutual consent and understanding on this matter. And I think that is a very good way to resolve problems. Sit and talk. Discuss. Don't scream. Don't shout. Don't fight. Don't assume that you expected for your partner to read between the lines and know what caused you to get upset. But rather, speak. The moment you saw something go wrong, speak. But the thing is that the moment you try to make a change, mashallah, but if you repeat and continuously repeat the same thing again and again without an apology, without making mu'afi, remember, an apology without change is also manipulation, Ya Sayyidi.
Mm-hmm.
It is manipulating. It is deceiving, because there is no apology. When a mistake happens, seek apology, seek forgiveness from each other, and then inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, make niyyah again that I'm going to fix this problem from this angle. Another question, Ya Sayyidi, is that why do people even want to live in toxic relationships? They live that life for like 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. They don't mind. I wouldn't say they don't mind. They would know better how much they minded, right? But they are embarrassed in public, humiliated in crowds, amongst people, amongst family members. There are so many family people that know, oh, Ya Allah Pak, this couple came, now you must hear they're going to fight just now.
Mm.
They would start anywhere. It's like a laughing, how you get the laughing gas, you know?
Mm.
If it's in the air, people just start laughing. Like, they just go into any environment and the smallest of things can trigger them. You would hear them yelling and screaming in the marketplaces, embarrassing and humiliating their spouses at shopping malls, at programs, functions, so on and so forth. And the question is that if that environment is so toxic, what's keeping you down there? Is it fear, Habibi? Is it khawf? Is it what?
Yes, I think it's not just that they want to stay in those environments. Many people don't want to. And again, I'm not saying everyone doesn't want to, because I know very well that there are people out in the world that just love drama in life. They want drama in their own lives, and if they don't find it, they will create that drama.
Mm.
So they will create a fight when there is no fight, just so that they can have entertainment in life. Mm. So this does happen. It is out there, and I'm sure many people do realize that it is this way in many cases. But then again, not everyone's like that. A lot of people don't want to be in those environments. They don't want to be in a toxic relationship. They feel that they have to. They feel that they don't have a choice. They feel that there's nowhere else to go. They feel there's nowhere else to turn. And therefore, they think that, well, this is the only place that I know as home, even though it's extremely difficult. Mm. Therefore, I'm just going to have to continue in this sort of environment, unfortunately.
But people do complain, where do I go?
Yes.
Who's going to marry me? Or where do I go? Who's going to support me? I have kids, I have children. And most of the time, husbands would throw them on the street with their kids. Yet it's part of their life as well.
Yes. Now, unfortunately, this is what people fear. People fear that, unfortunately, sometimes they have this financial dependence.
Yeah.
That I'm dependent on him financially and therefore I can't move. Or a husband could think that I'm dependent on my wife for so many aspects of my life.
Yes, yes.
And therefore I'm unable to come out, even though I know it's breaking me, it's causing me depression. I'm not able to move on. I can't live with her and can't live without her. What do I do? I'm stuck in this catch-22 situation between a rock and a hard place. You find sometimes it's fear of society.
Yeah.
That if I'm going to step out of this relationship, log kya kahenge? What will people say? What will the family say? Well, they say, you know, we told you we didn't like that girl. You were not supposed to be with her. We didn't like that boy. Why didn't you listen to us?
Mm.
So what is going to be the idea? What is going to be said by people? So that is also a fear that people have.
Yeah.
The other thing I've seen in many cases, many people might have seen this, people say, I can't manage to do it anymore, but I look at the faces of my children and I decide I'm going to stay.
Yeah, this is a very common one.
Yes,
a very common
I look
one,
towards right? my children and I just feel that, you know, they have their father and they have their mother.
Sure.
They have both, and now if we're going to step out, if we're going to move away, if we're going to separate, then how are they going to manage? Subhanallah Azza wa Jal, salute to the sacrifice of those parents. Really, look at the feeling that they have, that they sacrifice their own happiness. They sacrifice their own peace. They sacrifice the inner peace, the serenity of their mind, the peace of their life
Allah.
For the happiness of those children. But it's also important for those couples to understand as well that if that relationship is so toxic and we're thinking that we're going to hold that toxic relationship for the children, what kind of environment are those children growing up into?
Allah.
And when they're growing up in that environment, maybe we'll see that, okay, they managed to get some degrees now, but it's... How likely is it that they are going to be good, successful people who are not going to end up bullying society, who are not going to end up giving off negative towards society? So it's not an easy one to deal with. It's something that you really have to think about. It's something that people need to seek counseling with regards to. Some people just have that hope for change. And mashallah, Kamal, how excellent is their hope. But we have to be realistic as well. The person apologized. They've apologized 100 times and they've done the same thing 100 times and 100 times. Now 101 times, we have hope that this time it's going to be different. From time to time, we need to look at the reality of the situation. That if over and over the same thing happens, continuously 100 times, then on the 101st time, why do we think it's going to be different? We need to be realistic on it and see that, is it really going to be this way or is it really going to be a change? And very importantly, many a times it's just lack of knowledge. That
yeah,
people don't know where to turn to, they don't know what to do because they haven't sought out that assistance. They haven't sought out that knowledge. That if I really need to come out, how do I come out? If I need support, where are those support structures? And there are support structures. In, I can say, every country of the world, there are those people that are willing to stand up for those who are going through difficulties, for those who can't manage, those who are going through depression, those who are going through abusive relationships. I think it's a matter of looking out, seeing
yes.
where help
Agreed.
Can be received, and try to reach out for that help. You're not alone. There are many people going through the same problem in this dunya. And sometimes just having someone to listen to you, someone who you can lean on, someone who might be going through the same thing, just knowing that I have them can make it a little easier, can give you some good ideas as to how to deal with the difficult situations that you are in. So don't be afraid to ask for help. Don't be afraid to go out and seek help. It doesn't mean that you are weak if you are seeking help. Sometimes seeking help is actually the wise option.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. And together with that, patience is not silent suffering either, Ya Sayyidi.
Absolutely.
Patience isn't silent suffering, dear viewers. It is strength with boundaries.
True.
It is your quwwat, your power and your strength with boundaries. So speak out. You should let your partner know. You should not fear. You should involve seniors and adults of the family. And thus, Ya Sayyidi, we go back to that one discussion we once had, you know. We get the spokes in the wheel. SubhanAllah. And you have this one rod in a wheel. You have many spokes with one rod. And all of these spokes are connected to the rod that keeps the tire in the rim intact. Keeps it going. Keeps it rolling. Likewise, every family should have that one rod to whom all these spokes are connected. Yani all family members are connected. They look up to that person. In a relationship, when you don't have that one senior personality who you take guidance from or who you can speak up to, then there is really no guidance in your relationship. Things will go wrong. Things can go wrong. No one's relationship is perfect. We all are imperfect. The only perfect personality is our beloved Nabi
sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Jiha, he is the only perfect personality on this planet. Allahu Akbar. And we are bound to make mistakes. We do commit sins. We do make mistakes. But then, we don't learn from those mistakes, Ya Sayyidi. And when we don't learn from those mistakes, thus we keep repeating the same mistakes over and again, time and again. And then we realize children were born in the midst of those crimes, you know, of those situations. And they grow up, they are groomed in that. And then you find many people, I have met some people who told me, Tabriz Bhai, I came from a broken home, so has my wife come from a broken home. We both are married, we both are facing our own challenges here. Sometimes people from broken homes make a very good living together because they learn their lessons. You know, my parents live like this, your mother and father also live like that. You're not going to repeat those mistakes.
MashaAllah.
But they also have another set of new mistakes, new problems that may come their way. The solution is Quran. The solution is the Sunnah of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Sunnah is the biography of the beloved Aqa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have discussed this, dear viewers. The toxicity of the relationship can come right if you study the blessed seerah and biography of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Absolutely.
How did the beloved Aqa deal with problems? What advice has he given to his companions alayhim ridwan? From the time of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam to date, you think your problem was a new problem. This problem never happened before. Millions and billions of humans came on this planet. What different types of problems they may have faced. But the Quran states so clearly, with all those problems, لِتَسْكُرُوا إِلَيْهَا, the woman was made for you to gain peace from. Then why is it that people remember the bad more and the good less? Why is it that almost every home has some sort of problem? I said this once in a program, you know.
Right.
I was giving a bayan somewhere.
MashaAllah.
Alhamdulillah. And I said, you know, who doesn't have problems in their homes? And one brother lifted his hand.
SubhanAllah.
SubhanAllah. Even I said SubhanAllah. It was shocking to me. And I was like, okay, MashaAllah. I really assumed in that gathering, nobody was going to lift their hands.
Mm-hmm.
But that one brother said, well, in the crowd. And I was like, MashaAllah. So you say you never had a problem. He says, well, I'm married for the last 13 years. And in my relationship, not once we ever had any fights.
MashaAllah.
This is my question to the viewers tonight.
Actually, Munasab,
MashaAllah.
Was the brother's memory good or did he have a memory loss problem? Because, you know, it's difficult
to think. Ya Salaam,
that how is it that people can have relationships without any difficulties? Amazing.
This is really amazing.
But then again, you see, there's another positive outlook on this. Not so long ago, Alhamdulillah, I was blessed to be in the company of my father. Allah give him long life and good health. And he...
So, with children as well.
And you know, children can have their times that it might be a little bit difficult to deal with them, especially if there's some sort of tantrum or they're not feeling well or so. Then you see that they're just not themselves. And he looked at us and he looked at the children and he said, you know, I don't remember any of these difficulties with my children. With our children, as they were growing up, I can't remember a difficult day.
Wow.
Now, the reality of that is not that they weren't difficulties. What I say there's kamal in, there's excellence in, is the outlook of this person.
Wow.
That the outlook is so good that you constantly see the positive. When you always see the positive, you tend to forget the negatives. Whereas there are those who don't look for the positives, they look for the negatives. And if you ask them, they are ready to give you all of the problems because that's what they see and that's what settles in the mind. But in reality, there are many positives.
There are many positives.
It's a matter of us looking towards the positives, letting that settle in our mind. When our focus is there so much, sometimes we don't focus on and therefore don't remember the negatives. So I'm going to say this brother might have had a very positive outlook.
I was really impressed. But chale, MashaAllah, we have like 5 minutes before we come to the end of the program, Ya Sayyidi. And I think it's very important at this point to understand that yes, toxic relationships are never ever repaired with emotions, right? You can never fix a toxic relationship with your emotions. But yes, with principles you can.
Absolutely.
So can Mohsab give us some principles, give us some solutions to these toxic environments? It could be parents, it could be spouses, could be siblings, brothers, friends. Give us general solutions to these toxic environments, Ya Sayyid.
SubhanAllah. I think one of the main solution is something I've just mentioned just now as well, is bringing a dini environment into the home.
Right.
Bringing an Islamic environment into the home. So some beautiful examples of this, how to bring an Islamic environment in the home. Establish salah in the house. That means everyone must perform salah. If we establish salah in the home, even if it be nawafil that you are performing, men performing salah in the masjid, coming back, it's some nawafil, women folk performing salah as well. An Islamic environment, a beautiful way, I'm going to share this, beautiful way of setting, laying out an Islamic environment in the home. Home dars.
Wow.
Home dars. That means you give lessons from Faizan-e-Sunnat. In today's time, I'm saying Faizan-e-Sunnat because I know the amount of wisdom and hikmah that lies in Faizan-e-Sunnat.
Where can this book be obtained from?
Maktabatul Madina. And if you can't get a hard copy from Maktabatul Madina, really you can download it in so many languages.
How much is it?
In English, you can download for free.
Wow.
So you can download www.dawatislami.net. You can download a free copy of Faizan-e-Sunnat. You can send it to your friends and family. Give dars, even if it just meets for 5 minutes, each person in the home can have a turn. For example, mother, father, son, daughter, etc. Siblings, they can have turns to give dars. But this will start to reform your relationships. It will reform your lives. Set boundaries for yourselves. Set boundaries that people are not to cross my boundaries and not to cross their 100%. Boundaries. Boundaries are extremely important. Without boundaries, we're going to get in each other's faces. It doesn't have to only be physical boundaries. It can be emotional boundaries. Certain things I will not address regarding you, and certain things you will not address regarding me. These are red line zones. We don't go beyond that.
Okay.
Respect in communication is of utmost importance. Maintain that, whether it be to someone elder or someone who is younger, whether it be husband to wife or wife to husband, respect in communication. When there's need for counseling, seek counseling. Be accountable for that which you do. We need to be able to be held accountable. Really, Munasab, I think I'm giving a bit too many. Maybe our viewers might be feeling like we need to take notes on this. But if you've broken trust, and as a last point I'll mention, inshallah, if you've broken trust, there is opportunity to rebuild trust. Many a times, most of the time, there is that opportunity. I know it takes long, but it's worth the effort. If someone broke trust, try to rebuild trust. And if you haven't broken trust, then try not to break trust, because it's something that can take years to build, seconds to break, and then years again to rebuild. So take trust very seriously.
MashaAllah, Masahib, I really appreciate these words of wisdom. And gosh, we can practice and make amal upon these amazing pearls that you have shared with us, mashallah. These are honestly the solutions to a very successful marriage. Allah Kareem grant us the understanding of the deen, dear viewers. We have come right to the end of the program, alhamdulillah. Yes, we're going to be back next week, inshallah, with the same program, with a different problem, right? Mana Sahib, inshallah, azawajallah, that's affecting society. And we're going to give you solutions to this problem.
Inshallah.
But yes, this is a vast discussion. It still goes on, dear viewers. There are still many, many other solutions as well. Our lesson for today is that marriage was never meant to be a prison. It is not a jail. It was to be a source of mercy, rahmah, love, sukoon, and togetherness, subhanallah. If that is lacking, if that's not there in the nikah, that's missing. So we must not ignore it. Rather, we should fix it, repay it, or leave it with dignity.
Absolutely.
Don't fight. Don't involve different families. Don't involve family members. Leave it with dignity, with respect, and harmony, dear viewers of Madini Channel. If there is no kindness in a relationship, just remember, then there is no barakah and khair in that relationship. Allah Kareem grant blessings in all of our relationships as halal. Allah Azza wa Jalla grant us barakah in our lives, in our businesses. And having said this, dear viewers, we hope to meet you next week, same time, same place, in your Madini Channel. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Reformation of Ummah, Ummah. Reformation of Ummah, Ummah. Reformation of Ummah.